circulating in Washington for months that Biden is seeking to expand Trump's signature foreign policy initiative, the Abraham Accords, which normalized diplomatic relations between the Israeli regime and Bahrain and UAE. Biden wants to bring Saudi Arabia into a similar kind of arrangement with the fake regime of Israel. Details are beginning to leak of how he will try to get Saudi Arabia to take critical steps toward recognizing the fabricated regime of Israel. And the most alarming one is that the United States of America is offering a major security pact to autocratic regimes in Saudi Arabia and UAE. According to a source close to the ruler of the Emirates, this would be a binding strategic defense cooperation pact that goes beyond anything the U.S. has agreed to in the region before. A former Biden advisor, David Shapiro, confirmed to Newsweek magazine that Saudi Arabia was looking for assurances that the U.S. will retain significant military presence in the region to help Saudi Arabia address the threats it faces, as well as to take Saudi Arabia's side in its gruesome war in Yemen. Committing American lives to defend these Arab dictators is far more scandalous than an embarrassing presidential handshake with the Saudi crown prince. Biden will in one swoop break his promises of bringing troops home from the West Asia North Africa region, making Saudi Arabia pay a price and ending the war in Yemen. For the U.S., this amounts to an awful deal. It's all give and no take, because none of what the Persian Gulf states are offering is likely to pan out. To start with, establishing full diplomatic relations with the Zionist regime is a concession to this regime, not to the U.S. It does not advance U.S. security one iota, nor does it bring peace to Palestine or stability to the West Asia North Africa region, which the experience thus far with the Abraham Accords already has proven. Indeed, peace is not really the objective. Rather, according to Jared Kushner's August 2021 annual strategy document of the Abraham Accords Peace Institute, the objective is to move beyond the Arab-Israeli conflict. In that spirit, the Biden administration has not pressed the Israeli regime for any concessions to the Palestinians as part of this agreement. Instead, Biden has requested that the Zionist regime refrain from any provocative actions in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds that could inflame tensions ahead of his visit. Once his visit is over, Biden will presumably have no objections to the Zionist regime's ongoing repression of the Palestinians. Instead, and indeed, the Zionist regime's creeping annexation of Palestinian territory has accelerated since the Abraham Accords was signed. As Zaha Hassan and Marwan Mohasher write in Foreign Affairs, the truth is that the Accords have not advanced peace in the Middle East because Israel's aim in signing the Accords was to redirect world attention away from its military occupation, not to end it, unquote. This is not a recipe for peace, but for violence. Not surprisingly, during the first 3 months of this year, almost 50 Palestinians were murdered by the fake regime of Israel. The Palestinian deaths are a five-fold increase over the same period the previous year. Secondly, Biden's game is also unlikely to push down skyrocketing gas prices. Experts are skeptical that the Saudis sit on enough unused capacity to push down American gas prices substantially. The root of the problem is Washington's over-reliance on Saudi Arabia, a dependence that will only grow more damaging to U.S. interests as Biden moves closer to the Wahhabi kingdom at the expense of diversifying America's relations in the West Asia-North Africa region. Thirdly, Biden's defense pact is not likely to make the West Asia-North Africa region overall more secure. The Abraham Accords, contrary to claims that they are a creative new approach to the security in West Asia-North Africa region, continue a four-decade-long failed American strategy in the region. Perhaps the most important commitment the U.S. will seek to extract from Saudi Arabia and the UAE is alignment with America's strategy to confront Russia and China. The Saudis will make certain commitments about remaining fully aligned with the United States in its competition with Russia and China, Shapiro told Newsweek. But there is little to suggest that Biden's strategy of showering the Saudi crown prince and the ruler of the UAE, Mohammed bin Zayed, with concessions will bring about a sustainable Saudi Emirati commitment to the U.S. side in great power competition of this century. The Saudi crown prince has driven an uncompromising line with Biden. He famously shrugged off Biden's refusal to engage with him during the initial stage of his presidency. "I simply do not care," he told The Atlantic and patiently waited for Biden to cave. The Saudis are already dictating the terms of Biden's visit, forcing Biden to see the crown prince before he is allowed to meet any other Saudi official. Giving the crown prince more is not likely to make him more malleable, as political scientists Patricia Sullivan, Brock Tessman, and Chun-Jun Lee's research shows that increasing levels of U.S. military aid significantly reduce cooperative foreign policy behavior with the United States. The most likely outcome of Biden's meeting with the crown prince is that Saudi Arabia and the UAE will pocket Biden's many concessions and offer tactical collaboration against Russia and China in the short run, while keeping their options open to betray Washington down the road. If they truly believe that they shouldn't risk against China and Russia in this competition, they would not have needed all these American concessions to align themselves with the U.S. Biden is now completing what Trump started.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
سيد عبد الله الموسوي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the rights of non-Muslims in an Islamic state, because we were looking at the rights of Muslims in Western countries and we did not get a good result. So what if we flip the coin and see what does Islam say? First thing we did in a previous episode that we classified Muslims into a dhimmi and non-dhimmi. So dhimmi are those who are under the protection of Islam, who have promised certain things, and non-dhimmis are the ones who come for work, study, or what have you. We said the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them is that their dignity is preserved as human beings. So from here, Islam moves. So Islam says, regardless of your faith, regardless of who you are, what you do, what color you are, your faith is protected. That is a pillar of Islam, which you will not find in any system, past or present, and even futuristic. You will not find that except in Islam. Islam looks at human beings as equal humans, and they all deserve their rights to be preserved. Allah says in the Quran, in chapter Al-Hujurat, verse 13, Ya ayyuhan nas, Allah calling out to people, all people, and pay attention to the word nas, not Muslims. He's saying humans, people, all of you. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, we created you from a male and female. Waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'il, and we made you into nations and tribes. Lita'arafu, so you can get to know one another. And then it says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, in the sight of your Lord, the best of you is the most pious. That is it. Full stop, end of the sentence. Allah says, to me, you are all equal. Under an Islamic state, all people shall be treated equally. Why? Because we have a common denominator, and which is our humanity. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what your faith is. It doesn't matter what color you have. Wherever you go in the world, you should be treated in an equal manner. But sadly, we don't see that happening in this world. Even though we claim to be the most civilized of nations that passed or that lived. But yet, in terms of human rights, the picture is becoming more gloomy in that regard. Now, I don't want to go into more details of this, but we're trying to establish the fact that Islam says you're all equal, you're all human. If you want to, you know, at least honor yourself and glorify yourself, make that in terms of what? Your piety. And piety and taqwa, it is an action that we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secrecy. So I don't go around walking the streets and saying, I have piety, I'm better than everyone. No, so Allah says, basically he's saying, no matter how you look at it, you have to be equal with amongst you fellow human beings. Between me and you, I know what you do, so it's a private thing, so we'll keep it between us. More than that, you have no reason to go around and parade yourself as being better or being, you know, when, for example, we look at nations like the Germans, they believe they are the best, the Jews, they believe they are the best, the Americans believe they are the best, and each country believe they are best and better than other human beings, and they look at other human beings as a second-class world citizens. Nonsense. Islam says, you're all to me, you are all the same. And you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and look what he did. Before we continue, let us take a short break and I will get back to you.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Before the break, we made the point very clear, very strongly, that Islam looks at non-Muslim and their Islamic State first and foremost as humans, and thus their humanity needs to be preserved, needs to be protected, regardless of who they are, where they come from. Islam not only cares about their dignity and their humanity, but even cares about their emotional state, right? I mean, you can say, well, can you prove that? Now, let's look at the Quran in chapter Al-Ankabut in verse 46. Allah says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Do not argue with the people of the books, being Christians or a Jew or other divine books, except with that which is best. وَقُولُوا آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا, and say, we believed in whatever was revealed to us. وَأُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ, and whatever has been revealed to you, I believe in it as well. وَإِلَهْنَا وَلَهَكُمْ مَاحَدْ, our Lord, your Lord is one. وَنَحْنَا لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and to him, we are Muslims. Allah says, if you want to argue with them, if you want to debate them, Christians, non-Christians, Jews, or even atheists, those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the ayah says, Ahlul Kitab, but we can generalize it. He says, deal with them, talk with them, argue with them, in a way where you do not hurt their feelings. إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن, that which is the best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving every Muslim a direct order, a command, that if you want to deal with people who are not from your faith, you have to make sure you are the nicest to them. That is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in regards to them. So now we have saved their humanity, protected their humanity. Now we also care about their feelings. Now, when we move, if we want to take this into a further action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even says, not just that, but do not curse them or the things that they believe in. Because obviously, they have their own books, they have their own beliefs. Am I and you required, do I and you have the right to go around and cursing them and shouting at them and calling them names? Of course we don't. Allah says in the Quran in chapter Al-An'am, verse 108, وَلَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Do not curse those who worship deities other than God. فَيَسُبُّوا اللَّهِ. And in the return, what will they do? Is that they will curse your own Lord. They would curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. In here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say that people, when it comes to their faith, it doesn't matter what it is, they hold it dear and close to them. Me, as a Muslim, going around provoking those people, cursing their gods, cursing their religions, it is actually hurting their feelings and it's a direct attack on their dignity. Because Sometimes they don't know. Allah says, بغير علم. They have no idea themselves. When you attack them, they will attack you in return. So Allah says their dignity is safe, their faith is safe in terms of what they believe in, and also their feelings are safe. We'll leave it here. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. For your information, one day, while a person who was of an arrogant nature suggested to Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, not to seat the servants at the same table. The Imam replied, "All persons are created by God. Adam is their father, and Eve is their mother. Everyone will be dealt with by God according to his deeds. Why should there be any discrimination in this world?"
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Hey
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tries to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bear's living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future.
Chilean paleontologists unearthed a rare, fully intact fossil of what is known as a sea dragon, discovered from a melting glacier deep in Patagonia.
It is the first complete and excavated ichthyosaur that has been found in Chile. It also corresponds to one of the most complete fossils ever found on the planet for the Cretaceous period. It is the only pregnant ichthyosaur that's been found on the planet from the era between 129 and 139 million years ago. So it's incredibly important.
The 4-meter-long fossil is nicknamed Fiona and swam the seas some 250 million years ago. Scientists say this specimen will help them understand this species and its embryonic development. The expedition lasted over a month because of the remote nature of the find in the Patagonian glaciers. Paleontologists had to make a 10-hour hike just to get to the site. They also had to camp in extreme weather conditions while maneuvering tricky, rocky surfaces. But collecting and transporting the fossil was a whole other story.
As we went down excavating, weakening the rock, we realized the skeleton was mostly complete, so much that the bones were pushed inwards and we had to make 5 blocks of approximately 200 kilos each to move it.
The blocks were then airlifted to the Rio Seco Natural History Museum in southern Chile to be prepared for exhibition. The fossil was first discovered by Ruth Pedro more than a decade ago, but because of the site's harsh terrain, its extraction was a complex challenge. Scientists also discovered over 20 other specimens of the same species during the expedition, bringing the total found in the glacier area to 100.
About a dozen penguins have been returned home after being given a second chance at life following their rehab in Argentina. The birds were rescued in the province of Buenos Aires and were transported to the Mundo Marino Foundation for evaluation. The Magellanic penguins were treated for malnutrition, dehydration, and parasites. The foundation's director says these pathologies are usually caused by climate change, food scarcity, and environmental pollution. Vets say they are seeing more and more of these sorts of rescues. The bears were nursed back to health in one of the foundation's facilities in the town of San Clemente del Tuyo. They were later released back to their habitat in southern Chile. People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's cultural heritage list last year.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriyat. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives. Japanese engineers have invented a four-legged robot that can easily move across rough terrain while carrying heavy loads. Japan's Kawasaki Heavy Industries has developed a quadrupled robot, believing it can help with labor shortage in the country's aging society. Dubbed Bex after the wild goat species Ibex, the robot features large curved horns. It can walk over rough terrain or move faster on smoother surfaces using wheels tucked in its underbelly. Bex was designed to perform tasks and carry humans in agricultural settings, thereby answering a labor crunch in rural Japan.
Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animals or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches 3 astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The 3 blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a 3-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and 2 more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the 3 parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to 2 more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found 2 additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around 12 similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program. Today is a special. How to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, Tuesday, is the 21st of Zilqada, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start today's program with listening to the blessed recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 67.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لكل أمة جعلنا منسكا هم ناسكوه فلا ينازعنك في الأمر وادع إلى ربك إنك لعلى هدى مستقيم.
For every religion we have appointed rites which they perform. So, O Muhammad, let the disbelievers not contend with you over the matter, but invite them to your Lord. Indeed, you are upon straight guidance.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah does not leave any nation without any school of thought. A religion must be introduced from the side of Allah, and the people should go on the path of Allah. The Prophet's duty is to guide their nations, and they must resist in this way. So, the verse implies that there has been appointed a worship for every nation by which they would worship him. Therefore, the verse expresses this fact that each of the former nations had a separate program particular to them.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب.
Worshipping in private. Man is not immune from the snares of Satan, and so many acts of worship are tainted with self-conceit, ostentation, and publicity. The way to overcome this defect is to worship in private. The Messenger of Allah stated, "The reward for an act of worship done in private is greater." However, this does not apply to congregational acts of worship, such as Friday and other congregational prayers and Hajj pilgrimage, for congregational prayer in mosque is superior to individual prayer done at home. Worshipping in private, in most cases, prevents ostentation and adulteration of acts of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another source of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our sense of gratitude. Based on our needs, because of our needs and because we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's graceful attention, and since we have received everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have received at least, fresh water or sunshine. These two items are the basic items that anybody receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of this, we find that in order to behave humanly, in a human way, we are expected to be attentive to the graces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had to us. And in this regard, we find that it's expected of us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be grateful to Him for His abundant and unfailing help. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated in this way. فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. People are expected to worship the Lord of this house, that is Kaaba, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. Allah, who has given them food, who has nourished them and preserved them from death because of hunger. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And has given them security. Khawf in this context means security. Khawf in this sense means insecurity. So amanahum min khawf means preserved them from feeling insecure. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them, has favored them, has granted them the possibility to receive security.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Ways to get closer to Allah. Today's suggestion, reciting salawat. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stated, "Whoever sends salam, prayer and blessings upon me once, Allah will send blessings upon him tenfold." There are so many benefits for sending prayers upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt. It is also one of the most encouraged ways for us to express our love towards them. Let us encourage one another to show our love to Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt and recite as many prayers upon them. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. One of the ways is to recite, "O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad, as you sent blessings upon Abraham and upon the family of Abraham. Indeed, you are praiseworthy and glorious. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, as you blessed Abraham and the family of Abraham. Indeed, you are praiseworthy and glorious."
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa Allamul Ghuyub fi shuruq wa fil ghurub nuruhu yahdi al-asa Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa Allamul Ghuyub fi shuruq wa fil ghurub nuruhu yahdi al-asa Rabbuna al-hadi al-wadud fadluhu mil'ul wujud
عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
Opportunity to engage in worship. The assets of a lifespan and its opportunities shall be taken away and fade just like the passing clouds. One must be wary, make the best use of a passing opportunity, and render servitude to Allah. In a beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, "The day and night are worshipping in you. You also work in them. They are taking something from you. You also take something from them. However, we are given life, but are unaware of how we are spending this asset day and night. Are we making the best use of it?" The Messenger of Allah has stated, "The world is just an hour. Spend it in obedience to God." If under certain circumstances the ground for worship and serving Allah is limited, one must strive hard to make it broader. Go to freer environments and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the limitation of time and place is not an excuse for one to keep aloof from the worship of Allah. As Allah says, "My earth is indeed vast. So worship only me."
The point of sujood is to make us humble. Then why pray on the carpet? This is not gonna make you as humble as placing your forehead on the dust. If you truly want something that will make you humble, that will add to your humility, then place your forehead on the dust, because this is what's difficult for the human being. So this is the first way that sujood makes us humble, and it adds to the morality of the human being, so that when he speaks and engages and interacts with other human beings, he does not interact in an arrogant way. Allah wants us to be humble through sujood. And that humbleness can only be acquired by placing the forehead on the earth, not on the carpet. The second way in which sujood makes us humble is that it reminds us that when we place our forehead on the earth, in the same way when we spoke about the theological benefit of sujood, we said it reminds us of our beginning and end, our aqidah. Likewise, when we place our forehead on the earth, it reminds us that, look, you human being who thinks that you're so great and you're so powerful, you were created from the dust. And one day you will be placed in this grave and you will turn into dust again. So don't be so arrogant. Don't think you're better than other human beings, because in the same way you were created from dust, they were created from dust. You all have the same origin. So it makes me a humble person. I was created from dust and he was created from dust. Why am I better than other people? This is the constant reminder of sujood. Be humble. Place your forehead on the earth so that you remember, this was my beginning. I don't care how rich, wealthy I am, how intelligent, smart I am, how powerful I am. At the end of the day, me and a poor peasant living on the street, we were both created from the earth and we will go back to the earth. So why become so arrogant? Why do you think that you're better than everyone else?
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information on this program and to download for free our previous episodes of this program and other programs of IRIB English Radio, please visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
crazy who you're praying for. They told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.